spoken, and we must obey. The two kids backed away from their father and followed Darkstripe as he set off back to the camp.
Say goodbye to your father before you go,
Fireheart meowed, forcing himself to speak in a friendly tone.
You'll see him again when you're apprentices and can go to gatherings.
Both kids turned to mew goodbye.
Goodbye, Tiger Star replied. Work hard, and I shall be proud of you.
He and Fireheart stood side by side as Darkstripe led the kids back down the slope and across the stream. When they had disappeared into the undergrowth, Tiger Star meowed.
Take care of those kids, Fireheart. I'll be keeping an eye on them.
Fireheart's heart was pounding. When he had exposed the former deputy's treachery, Tiger Star had threatened to kill him. Now they were alone once more, with no help nearby for Fireheart if the Shadow Clan leader attacked. Fireheart's muscles tensed, but Tiger Star made no move toward him.
I'll see they're looked after, Fireheart meowed at last. I'm sure they will be loyal to their clan. ThunderClan takes care of all its kits.
Really? Tiger Star narrowed his amber eyes. I'm glad to hear it.
Tiger Star knew about the two kits who had been taken to Greypool, Fireheart remembered with a jolt. He waited for the Shadow Clan leader to challenge him about them, but Tiger Star did not question him, though his knowing expression chilled Fireheart. It was as though he was well aware that Fireheart could tell him more. Instead, Tiger Star dipped his head again and mewed.
We shall meet at the next gathering. I must return to my clan now.
Then he turned and padded away. Fireheart made sure the Shadow Clan leader had really gone before he turned away too, following the border toward Four Trees. Much as he hated to admit it, he couldn't see that Darkstripe had done any real harm by taking the kits out of the nursery. Fireheart would have had to tell them eventually that their father was the leader of Shadow Clan, and Tiger Star himself had behaved with more restraint than Fireheart would have believed possible. Firmly, he put the episode out of his mind. Time was running out. Before sunset, Fireheart knew he must speak with Tall Star and find another way to solve the dispute over this stolen prey. Chapter 13. Fireheart darted from one clump of gorse to the next as he crossed the moor toward the WindClan camp. He ran with his belly brushing the turf, trying to stay out of sight and longing for the thick undergrowth of his own territory. The last time he had visited the camp, when ThunderClan helped WindClan in a battle against the other two clans, there had been no need to hide. Now he dared not show himself until he reached Tall Star, or at least met with one of the cats he could call his friends, if any of them were still friendly after the recent disastrous gathering. WindClan patrols had attacked him on their territory before. They would be even more hostile now. The scent of WindClan was all around him, but so far he hadn't seen any cats. The sun had nearly finished crossing the sky. Fireheart tried not to think about that. He came close to panic when he remembered how little time was left before Blue Star would launch her attack. He was crossing one of the shallow moorland streams, bounding from rock to rock when a stronger scent of WindClan cats flooded over him, along with the scent of rabbit. Fireheart's belly growled in complaint, but he had to ignore it. There was no way he could take WindClan's prey now, and it smelled as if there was a hunting patrol not far behind anyway. Diving into a clump of bracken at the water's edge, he peered out cautiously to spot the source of the scent. Three cats were making their way upstream toward him. At the front of the patrol was his old friend One Whisker, and Fireheart's heart lifted. Gorsepaw was with his mentor. They were both carrying rabbits. But to Fireheart's dismay, the third cat was Mudclaw, the dark, mottled warrior who had stopped Blue Star when she tried to cross WindClan territory to get to Highstones. This cat would never allow Fireheart to bring his message to Tall Star. But it seemed that luck, or the favor of StarClan, was on Fireheart's side. With their jaws full of prey, the WindClan cats were unable to pick up his ThunderClan scent, and they passed within a couple of tail lengths of him. Then Gorsepaw, who was struggling with a rabbit almost as big as he was, stopped to adjust his grip on it and fell behind the others. Fireheart spotted his chance.
Gorsepaw!
The young cat raised his head, ears pricked.
Over here, in the bracken.
Gorspaw turned, and his eyes stretched wide when he saw Fireheart poking his head out of the rusty fronds. His mouth opened, but Fireheart urgently signaled to him to keep silent.
Listen, Gorspaw, he mewed. I want you to tell One Whisker I'm here, but don't let Mudclaw know, okay?
The apprentice hesitated, looking troubled, and Fireheart added urgently,
I have to talk to him. It's important for both our clans. You've got to trust me.
The desperation in his tone reached Gorspaw, who paused a moment longer, and then gave a quick nod.
All right, Fireheart. Wait here.
He picked up his rabbit again and hurried to catch up to the two warriors. Fireheart crept deeper into the bracken and crouched there, waiting. Before long, he heard another cat approach his hiding place and murmur,
Fireheart? Is that you?
To his relief, Fireheart recognized One Whisker's voice. He peered warily out of the shelter of the bracken and straightened up when he saw that his friend was alone.
Thanks, StarClan, he exclaimed. I thought you weren't coming.
This had better be good, Fireheart,
One Whisker meowed. He gave Fireheart a hard stare, with no trace of his usual friendliness.
It took me a while to get rid of Mugclaw. If he knew you were on our territory, you'd be crow food, and you know it.
He padded up to Fireheart.
I'm sticking my neck out for you, he growled. I hope it's worth it.
It is, I promise. I've come to tell you something. I've got to speak to Tallstar. It's important, he added, as One Whisker went on staring at him.
For a few heartbeats, he was afraid that his friend was going to refuse, or even attack him and drive him off WindClan territory. Then One Whisker spoke, and to Fireheart's relief, he sounded less hostile, as if he were beginning to realize the urgency of Fireheart's request.
What's it all about? Tallstar will have my fur off if I take a ThunderClan cat into camp without a very good reason.
I can't tell you, One Whisker. I can't tell any cat except Tallstar, but believe me, it's for the good of both our clans.
Once again, One Whisker hesitated.
I wouldn't do this for any cat but you, Fireheart,
he meowed at last. Spinning around, he beckoned with his tail and bounded off across the moor. Fireheart sprang after him. One Whisker halted at the top of the slope, looking down into the WindClan camp. The rays of the dying sun cast long shadows over the gorse bushes that lined the sides of the hollow. As Fireheart and One Whisker stood there, a patrol slipped past them. Fireheart was conscious of their stares, where curiosity mingled with antagonism.
Come on,
meowed One Whisker. He led the way through the tough stems of gorse until they came to a sandy clearing in the middle of the bushes. As he emerged through a narrow gap in the thorns, Fireheart saw Tallstar crouched at one side of the clearing near a pile of fresh kill. More WindClan warriors clustered around him. It was the clan deputy, Deadfoot, who looked up first and then nudged his leader, mewing something rapidly into his ear. Tallstar rose and padded across the clearing to where Fireheart and One Whisker waited. Deadfoot hovered at his shoulder, and other cats followed close behind. Fireheart recognized Barkface, the WindClan medicine cat, and Mudclaw, his lips drawn back in a snarl.
Well, One Whisker,
Tallstar's voice was level, giving nothing away.
Why have you brought Fireheart here?
One Whisker dipped his head.
He says he has to talk to you.
And that means he can just stroll into our camp? Mudclaw spat. He's from an enemy clan!
Tallstar waved his tail at Mugclaw, a sign for silence, while his eyes looked deep into Fireheart's.
I'm here, he mewed simply. Talk!
Fireheart glanced around him. The crowd was growing larger as more WindClan cats heard about the intruder in their midst and came out to see what was going on.
What I have to say is not for all ears, Tallstar, he stammered.
For a heartbeat, he thought he heard a faint growl in Tallstar's throat. But then the WindClan leader nodded slowly.
Very well. We will go to my den. Deadfoot, you come with us. And you, One Whisker.
Turning, he stalked toward the rock at the far end of the clearing, his long tail held high, while the two warriors herded Fireheart after him. The WindClan leader's den was sheltered under a deep overhang in the rock on the side away from the main camp, Tallstar entered and made himself comfortable in a nest of heather facing Fireheart. Well, he meowed. Shadows were gathering in the den, and Fireheart could feel rather than see the shapes of the cats who guarded him. Tension crackled between them, as if they were waiting for the tiniest excuse to attack him. During his journey across the moor, he had thought hard about what he would say, but he still didn't know whether he would manage to convince Tallstar that there was a way to avoid Blue Star's attack. "You know that Blue Star is unhappy about the loss of prey," Fireheart began. Instantly, the fur on the Wind Clan leader's shoulders began to bristle. "Wind Clan did not steal prey from Thunder Clan," he snapped. "We've found scattered remains, too," Deadfoot asserted, limping forward and thrusting his muzzle close to Fireheart's. "Are you sure Thunder Clan hasn't been stealing prey from us?" Fireheart forced himself not to flinch. "No," he protested. "I don't believe any cats have stolen prey."
"What happened to it then?"
One Whisker asked. "I think there's a dog living in the forest. We've smelled it and found its dung."
"A dog?"
One Whisker echoed, his eyes narrowed thoughtfully.
"What, loose from its two legs?"
"I'm certain of it," Fireheart meowed.
"Could be," mewed Tallstar.
To Fireheart's relief, the fur on his shoulders was lying flat again.
"We've certainly scented dog in our territory recently, but then they're always up here with their two legs."
Sounding more confident, he went on.
"Yes, it could be a dog killing the rabbits. I'll see that our patrols keep a lookout."
"But you didn't come all this way to tell us that," Deadfoot meowed. "So what's on your mind, Fireheart?"
Fireheart took a deep breath. He didn't want to betray Blue Star by telling Tallstar of her plans to attack, but he wanted to suggest to the Wind Clan leader that future battle could be avoided if he would just talk to Blue Star about the prey theft.
"I can't convince Blue Star about the dog," he explained. "She feels threatened by Wind Clan, and sooner or later this will all end in battle unless we can do something."
He could not tell the Wind Clan warriors how much sooner the battle would take place if he failed now.
"Cats will be injured, killed even, for nothing."
"Then what do you expect me to do?" Tallstar asked testily. "She's your leader, Fireheart. This is your problem."
Fireheart dared to take a couple of steps toward the Wind Clan leader.
"I've come to ask you to hold a meeting with Blue Star. If you could discuss things in private, you might be able to make peace."
"Blue Star wants a meeting?"
It was Deadfoot who spoke, sounding disbelieving.
"Last time we saw her, she looked as if she would like to claw our throats out."
"This isn't Blue Star's idea. It's mine," Fireheart confessed.
All three Wind Clan cats stared at him. Finally, it was One Whisker who broke the silence.
"Does that mean you're going behind your leader's back?"
"It's for the good of both our clans," he insisted. He half expected to be chased out of the camp, but to his relief, Tallstar was looking thoughtful.
"I'd certainly rather talk than fight," the leader meowed. "But how are we going to arrange it? How willing to listen will she be if she knows that you have talked to us first, without her knowledge?"
Not waiting for Fireheart to reply, he went on.
"Perhaps it would be best if I sent a messenger to ask her to meet me at Four Trees. But can you guarantee the safety of a Wind Clan cat on Thunder Clan territory?"
Fireheart was silent, which was answer in itself. Tallstar shrugged.
"I'm sorry, Fireheart. I won't risk one of my warriors. If Blue Star decides that she's willing to talk, she knows where to find us. One Whisker, you'd better take Fireheart back to Four Trees."
"Wait!"
Fireheart protested. An idea had just slid into his mind. Or perhaps StarClan had sent it to him.
"I know what you can do."
Tallstar's eyes gleamed in the gathering darkness.
"What?
Do you know the cat Ravenpaw? He's a loner who lives on a farm on the edge of your territory, near Highstones. He sheltered us on the journey to bring you home, remember?"
"I know him,"
meowed One Whisker.
"He's a decent cat, even if he's not a warrior. What about him?"
Fireheart turned to him eagerly.
He could take the message for you, and Blue Star has given him permission to enter ThunderClan territory, as he used to be a ThunderClan cat. Tall Star shifted in his nest of heather.
That sounds like it might work. What do you think, Deadfoot?
A reluctant rumble of agreement came from the deputy.
Then go,
Fireheart urged One Whisker, realizing once again how quickly time was running out.
Go now. Tell him to ask Blue Star to meet Tall Star at dawn at Four Trees.
There was barely enough time for One Whisker to find Ravenpaw, and for Ravenpaw to carry the message all the way to the ThunderClan camp before Blue Star would be leaving to launch her attack. Fireheart sent a silent prayer to StarClan that One Whisker would be able to find Ravenpaw easily on the two-leg farm. One Whisker glanced at his leader, who nodded. At once, the brown tabby warrior turned around and disappeared into the darkness outside the den. Tall Star gazed at Fireheart with narrowed eyes.
Why do I think there's something you're not telling me? He mewed.
To Fireheart's relief, he did not press for more answers.
It's time for you to go, he continued. Deadfoot, escort him off our territory. And Fireheart, I'll be at Four Trees at dawn, but that's all I can do. If Blue Star wants peace, she must be there.
Four Trees at dawn, Fireheart repeated, and followed the deputy out. Fireheart made good time back to Four Trees and onto his own territory. He had not eaten since before the gathering on the previous night. His belly ached with hunger, and he was beginning to feel shaky on his paws, so he forced himself to stop and hunt. He paused to listen when he reached the stream, and his ears caught the sound of a vole scuffling among the reeds at the water's edge. Lifting his head to taste the air, Fireheart pinpointed the creature more by scent than sight. He pounced, and his claws sank into his prey. Gulping it down, he felt strength flow back into him, and he headed for his own camp with renewed speed. The moon had risen above the trees by the time he slipped down the ravine, reminding Fireheart that he had until moonset to choose warriors for Blue Star's planned attack. His optimism was returning. Tall Star had agreed to talk. Surely Blue Star would realize that war with Wind Clan was unnecessary. He had almost reached the entrance to the clearing when he heard a cat call his name. He turned to see Whitestorm following him down the ravine at the head of the evening patrol. Brightpaw, Cloudpaw, and Frostfur were with him. Everything quiet? Fireheart asked as Whitestorm came up to him.
Quiet as a sleeping kit, the white warrior replied. No sign of the dog. Maybe its two legs found it after all.
Maybe, Fireheart meowed. Suddenly, he decided to tell Whitestorm where he had been. He wanted at least one other warrior to share the hope that they might not have to go into battle against WindClan.
Actually, Whitestorm, I wanted a word with you about that. Can you give me a moment?
Of course, if you don't mind my eating while I listen.
Whitestorm sent the two apprentices to go take prey for themselves. They bounded over to the pile of fresh kill and fell into a friendly scuffle over a magpie. Frostfur padded off to the warrior's den with a vole, while Whitestorm chose a squirrel for himself and carried it over to a quiet corner by the newly sprouting nettle patch. Fireheart followed him.
Whitestorm, Blue Star sent for me this morning.
Quietly, he told the older warrior the whole story, from Blue Star's obsessive belief that Wind Clan had been stealing prey and her order to attack, to Fireheart's decision to ask Wind Clan for a meeting.
What? Whitestorm stared at Fireheart in disbelief. You went behind Blue Star's back?
His voice failed, and he shook his head in confusion. Fireheart immediately felt defensive.
What else could I do?
You could have consulted me.
The fur on Whitestorm's shoulders bristled angrily.
Or some of the other senior warriors. We would have helped you find a solution.
I'm sorry. Fireheart's heart was pounding. I didn't want anyone else to get in trouble. I did what I thought was best.
It was because of the warrior code that he had acted alone, knowing that he could not ask any other cat to challenge Blue Star's orders like this. Whitestorm's gaze was intensely thoughtful.
I think we need to tell the other warriors about this, he meowed at last. They'll need to be ready for Blue Star's attack in case Ravenpaw doesn't get here. And even if Blue Star agrees to meet Tall Star,
She might want a patrol behind her. I'd bet a moon's worth of dawn patrols that Tall Star guesses something's up. We can't be sure he won't ambush us. Fireheart nodded respectfully.
You're right, Whitestorm. I trust them, but we should be prepared.
I'll find some apprentices to guard the camp, Whitestorm meowed. You gather the warriors.
Fireheart ran across the clearing to the warriors' den. Most of them were already there, curled up in their nests, asleep. Fireheart prodded Sandstorm with a paw to rouse her. She blinked up at him.
What is it?
Wake the others, please, Sandstorm, Fireheart meowed. Whitestorm and I have something important to tell everyone. Sandstorm scrambled to her paws.
What do you mean, something important? It's the middle of the night.
Fireheart went out again without answering to look for the remaining warriors. He found Brindleface visiting the queens in the nursery and Mousefur coming into camp with her jaws full of fresh kill after a late-night patrol. He wondered whether he ought to call Cinderpelt, but decided it would be better to explain the situation to her individually. By the time he returned to the warrior's den, the other cats were fully awake. A moment later, Whitestorm padded under the shelter of the branches and sat down at Fireheart's side.
What's all this about?
Darkstripe asked bad-temperedly, flicking moss off one ear.
It had better be good.
Fireheart felt his stomach churn with nervousness as he wondered how his clanmates would react when they heard what he had done. Whitestorm nodded at him, nudging him to speak. Taking a deep breath, Fireheart began. He explained Bluestar's plan to attack and how he had tried to work out a peaceful solution instead. His clanmates listened in stunned silence. Fireheart was acutely conscious of their eyes fixed on him, glowing in the moonlight that filtered through the gaps in the den's roof. In particular, he was aware of Sandstorm's pale green gaze, where she sat crouched near the outer branches, but he could not bring himself to look directly at her. He just hoped that the warriors would understand he had done this for the best of reasons, to avoid battle and save lives. So Tall Star agreed to meet Blue Star at Four Trees, he finished. Ravenpaw should be here any time now to tell her about the meeting. He braced himself for an outburst from the other warriors, but no cats seemed to know what to say. They merely looked at each other in bewilderment. Eventually, Mousefur asked,
Whitestorm, do you agree with what Fireheart has done?
Fireheart waited, his eyes fixed on his paws. He desperately needed Whitestorm's support because of the respect he commanded from the other warriors, but he knew that Whitestorm did not completely approve of his actions, however well-intentioned.
I wouldn't have done it, Whitestorm spoke with his usual quiet authority. But I think he's right about not attacking WindClan. I don't believe they have taken any of our prey. There is a dog loose. I've scented it myself.
So have I, around Snake Rocks, confirmed Mousefur.
At Four Trees, too, meowed Brackenfur. We can't blame WindClan for that.
But you're asking us to keep secrets from Blue Star.
Sandstorm rose to her paws, and at last Fireheart had to meet her challenging green stare. A jolt of dismay ran through Fireheart. He had not expected Sandstorm to be the first cat to object to what he had done.
I'm sorry, he mewed. I didn't think I had a choice.
Just what I would expect from a kitty pet, growled Darkstripe. Do you have any idea of what the warrior code means?
I know very well what it means, Fireheart defended himself. It is because of my loyalty to the clan that I don't want to fight an unnecessary battle. And I respect Star Clan as much as any cat. I don't believe it's their will that we attack tonight.
Darkstripe twitched his ears scornfully, but he said no more. Fireheart glanced around, wondering whether he was winning the support of his warriors. When Blue Star gave up her last life and went to join Star Clan, he realized uncomfortably he might have to lead this clan, and if he could not command their loyalty and respect, the task would be impossible.
This is what's important, he went on desperately. WindClan hasn't done anything wrong, and we have enough to do rebuilding the camp and keeping up the patrols without fighting an unnecessary, dangerous battle. How will we keep ourselves fed and prepared for Leaf Bear if we have warriors injured or even killed?
He's right,
Brindleface spoke up, and the others turned to look at her.
Our children would be in the battle, she went on quietly. We don't want them hurt for nothing.
Frostfur added her agreement, but the rest of the warriors were still murmuring among themselves. Again, he was aware of Sandstorm and the distress in her pale green eyes. He could understand how torn she must feel now, between her loyalty to Blue Star and her commitment to him. Right now, Fireheart wanted nothing more than to press himself against her flank and forget all this in the sweet scent of her fur, but he had to go on standing in front of his warriors, waiting for their verdict on whether they would support him or not.
So what do you want us to do? Longtail meowed at last.
I'll need a party of warriors ready to go with Blue Star to Four Trees, Fireheart replied. If Ravenpaw doesn't come, or if Blue Star doesn't agree to talk, then she'll lead us into battle. And if that happens... His voice failed. He swallowed.
Yes, what then? Sandstorm demanded. Do you want us to disobey Blue Star's direct orders? Turn around and run away? Dustpelt, tell Fireheart what a mouse-brained idea that is.
Dustpelt's ears pricked in surprise. Fireheart knew very well that part of the Brown Warrior's antagonism toward him was because Sandstorm so clearly preferred Fireheart now. He braced himself for more criticism, but Dustpelt meowed hesitantly.
I don't know, Sandstorm. Fireheart's right that it's a bad time for a battle, and besides, no cat can seriously believe that WindClan is stealing our prey. If Blue Star thinks so, then... Well...
He broke off, scuffling his paws in confusion. It's understandable that Blue Star can't trust WindClan, Fireheart mewed, instinctively defending his leader. Not since they stopped her going to Highstones. And we've never known dogs loose in the forest before. But there is no evidence at all that WindClan took those rabbits, and plenty of evidence that a dog did.
So what do you suggest if it comes to battle, Fireheart?
Asked Mousefur.
Come back to the camp when Blue Star gives the order to attack?
No, Fireheart replied. Tallstar seemed willing to meet Blue Star in peace, and if we're lucky, he'll have only one or two warriors with him. It won't come to a fight.
That's a pretty big if,
mewed Mousefur with a skeptical flick of her tail.
What if WindClan assumes the same thing and sets an ambush for us? We'd be crow food.
Fireheart winced as she voiced Whitestorm's own doubts about whether they could trust Tallstar.
I'm not going, Longtail announced loudly. Let WindClan tear us apart? I'm not mouse-brained.
Dustpelt, who was sitting next to him, turned his head and gave him a scorching look of contempt.
No, you're a coward, he meowed.
I'm not!
Longtail's protest was shrill.
I'm a loyal ThunderClan cat!
Fine, Longtail, Fireheart broke in. We don't need every warrior to go. You can stay and guard the camp, and that goes for the rest of you, he added. If you don't want to be part of this, stay here. He waited tensely for his warrior's response, looking around at their troubled faces in the dim light of the den. I'll go, meowed Whitestorm at last. I think we can trust Tallstar not to fight, if there is an alternative. Fireheart shot him a grateful glance as the other warriors hesitated, murmuring to each other or shifting uncomfortably among the mossy bedding.
I'll go too.
Brackenfur sounded nervous to be the first to speak among so many older warriors.
So will I,
mewed Dustpelt, his tail lashed once in Fireheart's direction.
But if WindClan attacks, I'll fight. I'm not going to be clawed apart for any cat.
The rest of the warriors joined in. To Fireheart's surprise, Darkstripe agreed to go, while Mousefur refused.
I'm sorry, Fireheart, she meowed. I think you're talking sense, but that's not the point. The warrior code isn't something you stick to just when you feel like it. I don't think I could disobey my leader if she ordered me to attack. Well, I will go, Brindleface asserted. I don't want to see my kits torn to pieces in a battle we don't have to fight. I'll go too, meowed Frostfur. Her gaze swept over the warriors around her as she added, We don't raise kits to fight in unjust battles.
At last, Fireheart had to face Sandstorm, who so far had said nothing. He could not imagine what he would do if she refused to support him. Sandstorm? He mewed hesitantly. Sandstorm crouched with her head down, not meeting his eyes.
I'll go along with you, Fireheart, she muttered. I know you're right about the dogs. but I still hate lying to Blue Star.
Fireheart moved to her side and gave her ear a quick lick, wanting to thank her, but she jerked her head away without looking at him.
What about the apprentices?
Darkstripe asked.
Do you want them to come with us? Fernpaw is too young to get involved.
I agree,
Dustpelt mewed swiftly. For all his tension, Fireheart had to suppress a purr of amusement to hear Dustpelt betraying the soft spot he felt for Darkstripe's apprentice.
I'd prefer to keep Brightpaw out of it, meowed Whitestorm.
But won't Blue Star think there's something odd if we don't take any apprentices with us?
Asked Brackenfur. That's a good point. Fireheart nodded at the young warrior. Okay, we'll take Swiftpaw and Cloudpaw, but only if Blue Star wants to take that many cats with her. And we'll tell them what's going on after we leave. The news will be all around the camp otherwise. Fireheart realized to his surprise that he had more warriors on his side than he needed. If Ravenpaw made it to the camp on time and Blue Star agreed to go and talk to Tallstar, it would seem odd if a whole fighting patrol of warriors offered to go with her. Besides, he didn't want to leave the camp vulnerable to attack, especially now. Why don't Frostfur and Brackenfur stay to help guard the camp? He suggested. I am grateful for your support, but you may be needed here. Brackenfur and Frostfur exchanged a glance and then nodded. Now the rest of you had better get some sleep, he continued. We leave at moonset. He watched the warriors settle down in their bedding, but he did not join them. He knew he had no chance of sleeping, and he wanted to tell Cinderpelt what was going on before she heard it from any other cat. If it weren't for his faith in Spotted Leaf, he would have started to doubt long ago that he could stop this battle. There seemed to be so much that could go wrong. Ravenpaw might not bring the message in time. Blue Star might refuse to talk to Tallstar. WindClan might ambush them at Four Trees. Giving himself a shake, Fireheart emerged into the clearing. He glanced around for any sign of Ravenpaw, but the camp lay silent in the moonlight. A pair of eyes gleamed from the entrance to the gorse tunnel, and as Fireheart padded closer, he made out the pale shape of Ashpaw on guard.
Do you know who Ravenpaw is?
He asked, and when the apprentice nodded, he went on.
He hasn't been here tonight, has he?
Looking puzzled, Ashpaw shook his head.
If he comes, Fireheart instructed him, let him in and take him straight to Blue Star, okay?
Okay, Fireheart.
Ashpaw was clearly bursting with curiosity, but he didn't ask any questions. Fireheart nodded to him and went off to find Cinderpelt. Padding up to the medicine cat's den, he saw her sitting outside, deep in conversation with Mousefur. Both cats looked around at his approach.
Fireheart,
Cinderpelt meowed, rising slowly to her paws.
What's all this Mousefur is telling me? Why wasn't I invited to the meeting?
Her blue eyes blazed with annoyance. It was just for the warriors, Fireheart replied, though the explanation sounded feeble even to him.
Oh, right,
mewed Cinderpelt dryly.
You thought I wouldn't be interested in keeping secrets from Blue Star?
It's not like that, Fireheart protested. I was coming to tell you now. Mousefur, he added, giving the she-cat a hostile glance. Aren't you supposed to be resting? Mousefur returned his glare, then spun around and vanished into the darkness.
Well,
prompted Cinderpelt. It sounds as if Mousefur has told you already. I don't like this situation any more than you, but what choice is there? Do you really think that StarClan wants war in the forest, especially an unjust war?
StarClan has shown me nothing about any battles, Cinderpelt admitted. And I don't want bloodshed, but is this the only way to stop it?
If you can think of a better idea, tell me. Cinderpelt shook her head. Moonlight shone on her gray fur, giving her a ghostly appearance, as if she were already halfway into the world of StarClan.
Whatever you do, Fireheart, be careful of Blue Star. Be gentle with her. She was a great leader, and she might be again.
Fireheart wanted so much to believe the medicine cat, but each day Blue Star seemed to slide further into confusion. The wise mentor he had respected when he first came to ThunderClan seemed very far away.
I'll do my best, he promised.
I don't want to deceive her, but that's why I've organized this meeting with Tallstar. I want her to realize we don't have to fight,
and she won't listen to me. Tensely, he added, do you think I'm wrong?
It's not for me to say.
Cinderpelt met his gaze steadily.
This is your decision, Fireheart. No cat can make it for you.
Chapter 14. When Fireheart returned to the clearing, there was still no sign of Ravenpaw. His belly churned. The moon was high in the sky. Before long, Blue Star would lead her warriors into battle against WindClan, and all hope of a peaceful solution would be lost. Where was Ravenpaw? Perhaps One Whisker hadn't been able to find him, or perhaps he couldn't come, or he was on his way but would arrive too late. Fireheart wanted to dash out into the forest and look for him, but he knew that would serve no purpose. Then he saw a flicker of movement at the entrance to the camp and heard a mewed challenge from Ashpaw. Another cat answered, and Fireheart shivered with relief as he recognized Ravenpaw's voice. Springing forward, he bounded across the clearing. Okay, Ashpaw, he meowed to the apprentice. I'll look after Ravenpaw. You stay on guard. He touched noses with the sleek cat who emerged from the gorse tunnel. It's good to see you, Ravenpaw. How are you? Even as he asked the question, he could see that the former apprentice was looking well. His black pelt shone in the moonlight, and his strong muscles rippled beneath the fur.
I'm fine, Ravenpaw replied.
He looked around the clearing, his amber eyes very wide.
It seems strange to be here again, Fireheart. I'm sorry to hear you're having trouble with WindClan. One Whisker told me everything, and he swore they haven't been stealing prey.
Try convincing Blue Star of that, Fireheart meowed grimly. Look, I hate to rush you. I know you must have run like the wind to get here so fast, but we don't have much time. Follow me. He led the way to Blue Star's den. The ThunderClan leader was curled in her nest, but when Fireheart looked closely at her, he could see a gleam of moonlight reflected from her narrowed eyes. She was not asleep.
What's the matter, Fireheart? She asked, sounding annoyed. It's not time to go yet. And who's that with you?
It's Ravenpaw, Blue Star, the loner meowed, stepping forward. I've come with a message from WindClan.
WindClan? Blue Star sprang to her paws. What does that clan of thieves want to say to me?
To Ravenpaw's credit, he didn't flinch, though Fireheart knew he must remember the days when he was a clan apprentice, and Blue Star's anger was something to be feared.
Tallstar wants to meet with you, to discuss the loss of prey, he told her.
Does he?
Briefly, Blue Star glared at her deputy, her eyes blazing with blue fire. For a heartbeat, Fireheart was sure she had guessed what he had done. There was an ominous pause.
Blue Star, surely it would be better to talk than fight, he ventured.
Don't tell me what to do,
Blue Star snapped. Her tail tip twitched irritably.
Get out of here. Ravenpaw and I will discuss this together.
Fireheart had no choice but to leave the den. He hovered around outside, listening to the murmur of voices, but unable to make out what Blue Star and Ravenpaw were saying. After a while, Whitestorm emerged from the warrior's den and padded over to join him. The moon's going down, the white warrior meowed. Blue Star will want to leave soon. Is Ravenpaw here yet?
Yes, he is, mewed Fireheart. But I don't know whether...
He broke off at a movement from inside the den. A heartbeat later, Blue Star stalked out with Ravenpaw behind her. She paced forward until she reached Fireheart, her tail lashing.
Gather a patrol, she ordered. We go to Four Trees.
Does that mean you are going to talk with Tallstar?
Fireheart asked bravely. His leader's tail lashed again.
I will talk, she meowed. But if there is no agreement, then we will fight.
The night was still dark when Blue Star led her warriors into the hollow where the four great oaks stood. Fireheart patted at her shoulder. The smallest of rustles told him that the other cats were following. His heart lurched as an owl hooted in the distance. He had barely had a chance to murmur his thanks to Ravenpaw for bringing Tallstar's message before the black cat had slipped away from the ThunderClan warriors. He would follow a different route back to his farmland home, keeping well clear of Four Trees. Blue Star paused at the top of the slope.
As the other warriors caught up with her, Starlight cast a faint sheen on their fur, touching their pricked ears and reflecting from their wide eyes. Fireheart could almost taste their anticipation. When he looked across the border into WindClan territory, he thought at first that the sweep of moorland was empty, stretching up to the night sky. Wind swept across it and rustled the oak trees in the hollow behind him. Then he caught sight of movement up ahead, and he realized that a line of cats was standing there, with Tallstar at their center. His stomach clenched as Fireheart realized that Tallstar, too, had brought his warriors with him.
"What's that?"
Bluestar hissed, turning to glare into his eyes.
"So many WindClan cats? I thought I was coming here to talk."
Her eyes glared furiously at Fireheart, some sharpened instinct flooding her expression with understanding.
"This looks more like an ambush than a meeting of leaders."
At a flick of her tail, the ThunderClan warriors moved up in purposeful silence to form a tight line on either side of their leader, facing the WindClan cats. Fireheart felt the air crackle with tension, and he realized that it would be all too easy for fighting to break out, even if WindClan did not attack first. Would Tallstar keep his word and try to talk to Bluestar rather than fight?
"Tallstar,"
Bluestar meowed coldly.
"What have you to say to me?"
Waiting for the WindClan leader's response, Fireheart nervously sheathed and unsheathed his claws. He did not know if the line would hold. If just one cat moved forward, battle could engulf them all. He saw Dustpelt exchange a tense glance with Brindleface, as if both cats were thinking the same as he was. Next to him, Sandstorm kept her gaze fixed on the WindClan cats, her ears flat to her head. Swiftpaw stared nervously at his leader, but he held his place in the line. Cloudpaw, on Fireheart's other side, had dropped into the hunter's crouch, his rump wriggling as if he were about to spring.
"Keep still," Fireheart hissed.
A few fox lengths away, Tallstar stood a pace or two ahead of his own warriors. As the first pale light of dawn crept into the sky, Fireheart could make him out more clearly. His black and white fur was fluffed up, and his tail held erect. Behind him, Fireheart spotted One Whisker and Morning Flower, and the young apprentice, Gorsepaw.
"I don't want to fight these cats," he thought.
He waited, feeling his heart pound like that of a trapped bird.
"No cat is to move,"
Tallstar ordered his warriors at last, his voice carrying easily in the still air.
"You must be mad."
That was Mudclaw patting to Tallstar's side.
"That's a fighting force she's brought with her. We've got to attack."
"No."
Tallstar took another pace forward, flicking his tail to summon Deadfoot, his deputy, to his side. Looking directly at Bluestar, he dipped his head.
"No battle will be fought here today. I said that I would come here to talk, and that's what I intend to do."
Bluestar did not respond. She crouched on the ground, her fur bristling and her teeth bared in a snarl of defiance. Fireheart was suddenly afraid that she had changed her mind and wondered what would happen if she launched herself at the WindClan leader. He sent up a fervent prayer to StarClan that she would not order her warriors to attack. Meanwhile, One Whisker came up to Mudclaw and nudged him roughly back into line. For a moment that seemed to Fireheart to last several moons, the two lines of cats faced each other, their fur blowing in the wind, their eyes gleaming with a tension that teetered on the brink of breaking out into squalling, biting rage.
"Bluestar," Tallstar spoke again, "will you come here to me, between our warriors? Bring your deputy with you, and let us see if we can make peace."
"Peace,"
Bluestar spat.
"How can I make peace with prey stealers and rogues?"
Yowls of protest rose from the WindClan cats. Mudclaw sprang forward, but One Whisker leaped after him and bowled him over, holding him writhing on the turf. Fireheart saw Darkstripe lashing his tail to and fro. If Mudclaw attacked, Darkstripe would meet him, and all hope of peace would be over.
"Do as Tallstar says,"
Fireheart mewed desperately to Bluestar.
"That's why we're here. WindClan has suffered from stolen prey just like ThunderClan."
Bluestar rounded on him, a look of venomous hatred blazing in her blue eyes.
"It seems we have no choice," she hissed at him.
But there'll be a reckoning for this, Fireheart. You can be sure of that.
Stiff-legged, her fur bristling, she paced forward until she stood in front of Tall Star, right on the border of WindClan territory. Fireheart followed, murmuring to Sandstorm, "Keep an eye on Darkstripe," as he left the line of warriors. Tall Star watched Blue Star coolly as she approached. The WindClan leader had never forgiven her, Fireheart knew, for sheltering his old enemy Broken Tail, but he had the wisdom not to let his grudge influence him now. "Blue Star," he meowed, "I swear by StarClan that WindClan has not hunted on your territory."
"StarClan," Blue Star sneered. "What's the worth of an oath by StarClan?"
The black and white Tom looked taken aback, his gaze flickering to Fireheart as if he were looking for an explanation.
"Then I will swear it by anything you hold sacred," he went on. "By our kits, by our hopes for our clans, by our honor as leaders. WindClan did not do what you accuse us of."
For the first time, his words seemed to reach Blue Star. Fireheart saw her fur begin to lie flat.
"How can I believe you?"
she rasped.
"We have lost prey too," Tall Star told her. "It may be dogs or rogues. It is not cats from WindClan."
"So you say," meowed Blue Star.
She sounded uncertain now. Fireheart thought that perhaps Tall Star was beginning to convince her, but she did not know how to back down without losing dignity. "Blue Star," Fireheart mewed urgently, "a noble leader doesn't take her warriors into battle without need. If there's the least doubt that—"
"Do you think you know more than I do about how to lead a clan?"
Blue Star interrupted. Her fur had bristled again, but this time it was Fireheart who was the target of her anger. He caught a glimpse of the old, formidable ThunderClan leader, and it was all he could do not to flinch from her.
"Young cats think they know everything," Tall Star meowed.
There was a hint of sympathetic humor in his voice, and Fireheart felt a flash of gratitude toward the WindClan leader for his sensitivity to Blue Star's fears.
"But sometimes we have to listen to them. There is no need for this battle."
Blue Star's ears twitched irritably.
"Very well," she mewed reluctantly. "I accept your word, for now. But if my patrols sent WindClan one tail length over our border—"
She whipped around and called to the ThunderClan cats.
"Back to camp,"
she ordered, leaping ahead of them. As Fireheart turned to follow her, Tall Star dipped his head to him.
"Thank you, Fireheart. You did well, and my clan honors your courage in averting this battle. But I don't envy you now."
Fireheart shrugged and followed the rest of his clan. Just before he plunged into the hollow at Four Trees, he glanced over his shoulder to see the WindClan cats racing back across the open moor toward their camp. The turf gleamed pale in the soft dawn light, unstained by the blood of any cat.
"Thank you, Spotted Leaf,"
Fireheart murmured as he turned away. Blue Star led her warriors back to camp in tense silence. At the entrance to the clearing, Fireheart bounded ahead to talk to Mousefur, who was sitting outside the warriors' den.
"Any problems?"
he asked. Mousefur shook her head.
"No trouble at all,"
she reported.
"Frostfur has taken out the Dawn Patrol with Brackenfur and a couple of the apprentices."
Looking him over, she added,
"You don't seem to be missing any fur. I suppose the peace talk worked?"
"Yes, it did. Thanks for taking care of things here, Mousefur." Mousefur dipped her head.
"I'm going to get some sleep," she meowed. "You'll need to send some cats out to hunt. There's hardly any fresh kill left."
"I'll lead a hunting party," Fireheart promised.
"No, you won't."
Blue Star came padding up behind him. Her eyes were chips of blue ice.
"I want to see you in my den, Fireheart. Now."
She stalked across the clearing without looking back to see if he was following. Fireheart's fur prickled with dread. He had expected some sort of recrimination from his leader, but that didn't make it any easier now that it was about to happen.
"I'll see to the hunting party," Whitestorm meowed, giving him a sympathetic look as he came up with Sandstorm and Dustpelt.
Fireheart nodded his thanks and headed toward Blue Star's den. By the time he reached it, His leader was seated on her bedding with her paws tucked under her. The tip of her tail twitched back and forth.
Fireheart.
Her voice was quiet. Fireheart would have been less afraid if she had yowled at him.
Tallstar couldn't have picked a more convenient time to talk to me about the prey theft than if Star Clan had told him themselves. That was your doing, wasn't it? You're the only cat who knew that I was planning to attack Wind Clan. Only you could have betrayed us.
She sounded as if her mind was clearer than it had been for some time, as if the instinct that had sharpened her senses on the moor had settled into hard certainty. She was behaving like the noble leader he had once respected, giving Fireheart an even more agonizing sense of what they had lost. He still believed that he had not betrayed his clan, but he had given away the advantage of surprise, because Tallstar had been wise enough to realize that battle must be close. Would Blue Star send him into exile? Fireheart shivered at the thought of being forced to live as a rogue, stealing prey and with no clan to call his own. He came to stand in front of Blue Star and dipped his head.
I thought it was the right thing to do, he meowed quietly. Neither of the clans needed to fight this battle. I trusted you, Fireheart,
Blue Star rasped.
You, out of all my warriors.
Fireheart forced himself to meet her flinty gaze.
I did it for the good of the clan, Blue Star, and I didn't tell him about the attack. I only asked him to try making peace. I thought,
silence, Blue Star hissed, lashing her tail.
That is no excuse. And why should I care if the whole clan had been slaughtered? Why should I care what happens to traitors?
A wild light was growing in her eyes again, and Fireheart realized that the moment's clarity had gone.
If only I'd kept my kits, she whispered. Mistyfoot and Stonefur are noble cats, far nobler than any of this ragtag bunch and ThunderClan. My children would never have betrayed me.
Blue Star, Fireheart tried to interrupt, but she ignored him.
I gave them up to become deputy, and now Star Clan is punishing me. Oh, Star Clan are clever, Fireheart. They knew the cruelest way to break me. They made me leader and then let my cats betray me. What is it worth now to be leader of ThunderClan? Nothing! It's all empty, all...
Her paws worked furiously among the moss. Her eyes were glazed, staring at nothing, and her mouth gaped in a soundless wail. Fireheart shuddered in dismay.
I'll fetch Cinderpelt, he meowed.
Stay where you are! Each word was rasped out separately.
I need to punish you, Fireheart. Tell me a good punishment for a traitor.
Nearly sick with fear and shock, Fireheart forced himself to reply.
I don't know, Blue Star. But I do.
Now her voice was a low purr, with a strange note of amusement in it. Her gaze locked with Fireheart's.
I know the best punishment of all. I'll do nothing. I'll let you be deputy still, and leader after me. Oh, that should please Star Clan, a traitor leading a clan of traitors. May they give you joy of it, Fireheart. Now get out of my sight.
The last words were spat out. Fireheart backed away from her, into the clearing. He felt as if he had been in a battle after all. Blue Star's despair pierced him like sharpened claws. But he couldn't help feeling that Blue Star had let him down too, by not even trying to understand his motives. She had labeled him a traitor without even considering what would have happened if they had fought Wind Clan. Head down, Fireheart padded across the clearing, not even aware that another cat had approached him until he heard Sandstorm's voice.
What happened, Fireheart? Has she sent you away?
Fireheart looked up. Sandstorm's green eyes were anxious, though she did not move close enough to comfort him with her touch.
No, he replied. She didn't do anything. Then that's all right.
Sandstorm sounded as if she were forcing optimism into her voice.
Why are you looking like that? She's ill.
Fireheart couldn't begin to describe what he had just witnessed in Blue Star's den.
I'm going to get Cinderpelt to see her. Then maybe we can eat together. No, I said I'd go hunting with Cloudpaw and Brindleface.
Sandstorm scuffled her front paws, not looking at him.
Don't worry about Blue Star, Fireheart. She'll be all right.
I don't know. Fireheart couldn't repress a shiver. I thought I could make her understand, but she thinks I betrayed her. Sandstorm said nothing. Fireheart saw her give him a quick glance and then look away. There was longing in her eyes, but it was mingled with uneasiness, and he remembered how she had resented deceiving Blue Star.
Does Sandstorm think I'm a traitor too?
He thought desperately.
After Fireheart had sent Cinderpelt to Blue Star, he headed for the warrior's den. He felt as if his legs could hardly hold him up, and he could think of nothing except sinking into the soft darkness of sleep.
His heart sank when he saw Longtail stalking across the clearing toward him.
I want a word with you, Fireheart,
he growled. Fireheart sat down.
What is it?
You ordered my apprentice to go with you this morning.
Yes, and I told you why.
He didn't like it, but he did his duty,
Longtail meowed harshly. That was true, Fireheart reflected. He had admired the apprentice's courage in a tough situation, but he wasn't sure why Longtail was making such a fuss now.
I think it's time he was made a warrior,
Longtail went on.
In fact, Fireheart, he should have been a warrior long ago.
Yes, I know, Fireheart replied. You're right, Longtail, he should.
Longtail looked taken aback at his ready agreement.
So what are you going to do about it?
He blustered.
Right now, nothing, Fireheart meowed. Don't flatten your ears at me, Longtail. Just think, will you? Blue Star is distressed at the moment. She didn't like what happened this morning, and she won't want to think about promoting apprentices. No, wait. He flicked his tail to silence Longtail as the pale warrior opened his mouth to protest. Leave it with me. Sooner or later, Blue Star has to realize that what happened was for the best. Then I'll talk to her about making Swiftpaw a warrior, I promise. Longtail sniffed. Fireheart could see he wasn't happy, but he couldn't think of any reason to object.
All right, the pale tabby warrior mewed. But it had better be soon.
He stalked off again, leaving Fireheart to head for his nest. As he curled into the soft moss, shutting his eyes tight against the early morning light, he couldn't help worrying about the four older apprentices. Cloudpaw, Brightpaw, and Thornpaw all deserved to be warriors as well as Swiftpaw, and the clan desperately needed them to take on full warrior duties. But in her present mood, convinced that she was surrounded by traitors, Blue Star would never agree to give them warrior status. Fireheart's dreams were dark and confused, and he woke to find that a cat was nudging him. A voice meowed.
Wake up, Fireheart!
Blinking, he focused his eyes on Cinderpelt's face. Her gray fur was ruffled and her eyes wide with anxiety. Fireheart was awake in a heartbeat.
What's the matter?
It's Blue Star,
Cinderpelt replied.
I can't find her anywhere.
Chapter 15. Fireheart sprang to his paws. Tell me what happened.
When I saw her earlier this morning, I took her poppy seeds to calm her down,
Cinderpelt explained.
But when I went to her den just now, she wasn't there, and she hadn't eaten the poppy seeds. I tried the elder's den and the nursery, but she isn't there either. She isn't anywhere in camp, Fireheart.
Did anyone see her leave?
I haven't asked yet. I came to tell you first.
Then I'll get the apprentices to search and find out if...
Blue Star's not a kit, you know.
The interruption came from Whitestorm, who had padded into the warrior's den in time to hear Cinderpelt's news.
She might have gone on patrol. For all you know, other cats are with her.
He spoke calmly as he bared his teeth in a yawn and settled into his nest. Fireheart nodded uncertainly. What Whitestorm said was sensible, but he would have liked to be sure. After the state Blue Star had been in that morning, she could be anywhere in the forest. She might even have gone to RiverClan in search of her kits.
There's probably no need to worry,
Fireheart reassured Cinderpelt, hoping he sounded more confident than he felt.
But we'll look anyway and find out if any cat has seen her.
Leaving the den, he spotted Fernpaw and Ashpaw sharing tongues near the blackened remains of the tree stump outside the apprentice's den. Quickly, Fireheart explained that he had a message for Blue Star, but he wasn't sure where she was. The two apprentices dashed off willingly to look for her. "You go and ask if any cat has seen her," he suggested to Cinderpelt, who had followed him out of the den. "I'll go up the ravine and see if I can pick up her scent. I might be able to track her." Privately, he didn't have much hope. While he had slept, clouds had covered the sky and a thin rain was drizzling down. It was not good weather for following scent. Before he could leave, Fireheart noticed that Sandstorm was just returning to camp, along with Cloudpaw and Brindleface. All three of them carried fresh kill, which they went over to drop on the pile. Fireheart raced up to them, with Cinderpelt limping behind. "Sandstorm," he meowed. "Have you seen Blue Star?" Sandstorm swiped her tongue around her mouth to remove the prey juices.
"No. Why?"
"She isn't here,"
mewed Cinderpelt. Sandstorm's eyes widened.
"Are you surprised? After what happened this morning? She must feel like she's losing control of her clan."
That was so close to the truth that Fireheart didn't know how to answer.
"We're going out again,"
meowed Cloudpaw.
"We'll keep a lookout for her."
"Okay, thanks." Fireheart blinked gratefully at his apprentice. The young white Tom raced off again, with the two warriors following more slowly. Brindleface paused to meow.
"I'm sure she'll be fine, Fireheart,"
as she left, but Sandstorm didn't look back. Fireheart's problems were about to overwhelm him, but then he felt Cinderpelt's breath soft against his ear.
"Don't worry, Fireheart,"
she murmured.
"Sandstorm's still your friend. You need to accept that she doesn't always see things the way you do."
"You don't either," Fireheart sighed. Cinderpelt let out an affectionate purr.
"I'm still your friend, too,"
she told him.
"And I know you've done what you believe to be right. Now, let's see what we can do to find Blue Star."
By the time the sun set, Blue Star was still missing. Fireheart had tracked her as far as the top of the ravine, but after that, with the rain coming down more heavily, the scent was lost among the tang of charred branches and the musty smell of fallen leaves. Too anxious to sleep, Fireheart put himself on watch. The night was far gone, and the moon was setting when he spotted movement by the camp entrance. The last rays of moonlight picked out a silver-gray coat as Blue Star limped back into the camp. Her fur was soaked, plastered to her body, and her head was low. She looked old, exhausted, defeated. Fireheart hurried across to her.
"Blue Star, where have you been?"
The clan leader raised her head and looked at him. A jolt ran through Fireheart. Her eyes, faintly glowing in the dim light, were clear and bright in spite of her exhaustion.
"You sound like a queen scolding her kit,"
she rasped, an edge of humor in her voice. She jerked her head in the direction of her den.
"Come with me."
Fireheart obeyed, pausing only to snatch a vole from the pile of fresh kill. Blue Star needed to eat, wherever she had been. When he reached Blue Star's den, his leader was seated in her mossy nest, washing herself with long, careful strokes. Fireheart would have liked to sit beside her and share tongues with her, but after their last encounter, he did not dare. Instead, he dropped the vole in front of her and respectfully dipped his head.
"What happened, Blue Star?" he asked.
Blue Star stretched her neck to sniff the vole, half turned away from it, and then began to gulp it down, as if she had suddenly realized how hungry she was. She did not answer until she had finished it.
"I went to speak with StarClan,"
she announced, flicking the last traces of vole from her whiskers. Fireheart stared.
"To Highstones? On your own?" "Of course. Which of this pack of traitors could I ask to escort me?"
Fireheart swallowed. Gently, he meowed.
"Your clan is loyal, Blue Star. All of us."
Blue Star shook her head stubbornly.
"I went to Highstones, and I spoke with StarClan."
"But why?" Fireheart was feeling more and more confused.
"I thought you no longer wanted to share tongues with StarClan."
The old cat drew herself up.
I do not. I went to challenge them. I wanted to ask how they could justify what they have done to me, when I have served them all my life and tried to do their will, and to demand an explanation for the things that are happening in the forest.
Fireheart gazed at her in disbelief, amazed that his leader had dared to challenge the spirits of their warrior ancestors.
I lay beside the Moonstone and StarClan came to me,
Blue Star went on.
They did not justify themselves. How could they? There is no justification for what they have done to me. But they told me something.
Fireheart leaned closer.
What?
They said that there is evil loose in the forest. They spoke of a pack. They told me that it will bring more death and destruction than the forest has ever seen before.
What did they mean?
Fireheart whispered. Surely there had been enough death and destruction already with the fire and the floods? Blue Star lowered her head.
I don't know.
But we must find out,
Fireheart exclaimed, his mind whirling.
Perhaps they mean the dog, but a dog couldn't do damage on that scale. And what about Pack? Maybe they were talking about Shadow Clan. You know how Tiger Star vowed to take revenge on us. Maybe he's planning an attack. Or Leopard Star,
he added, still trying to cling to his hope that Tiger Star had lost interest in harming his old clan. Blue Star shrugged.
Maybe.
Fireheart narrowed his eyes. He couldn't understand why she didn't want to work out the meaning of what StarClan had told her and make plans to stop the attack if it came.
We have to do something, he insisted. We could set a watch on the borders, and we should increase the patrols.
He wasn't sure how he was going to do that with so few warriors.
We need to make sure there's always a guard on the camp when...
His voice trailed off as he realized Blue Star wasn't listening. She crouched motionless, her eyes fixed on her paws.
Blue Star?
The ThunderClan leader looked up at him, her eyes bottomless pools of despair.
What is the point?
She rasped.
StarClan has decreed that death will come. A dark force walks this forest, and even StarClan themselves cannot control it, or will not. There is nothing we can do.
A shudder went through Fireheart. Was Blue Star right that StarClan was not powerful enough to avert the doom that was coming? For a few heartbeats, he almost shared his leader's despair. Then he raised his head. He felt as though he were clawing his way up from the depths of black water.
No, he growled. I won't believe that. There is always something that a cat can do, as long as he has courage and loyalty.
Courage? Loyalty? In ThunderClan?
Yes, Blue Star!
Fireheart tried to put all the force of his belief into his reply.
No cat but Tiger Star has ever wanted to betray you.
Blue Star held his gaze for a moment before looking away. Her tail flicked wearily.
Do what you want, Fireheart. It won't make any difference.